Building an audience and growing your platform is critical for business success today. So how do you stand out and get more visibility? Our guest today is platform strategist Charvette Mitchell, author of 5 books and host of the popular Charvette Mitchell radio show. With more than 700 episodes under her belt, Charvette shares her best strategies for using podcasting to grow your visibility, establish expertise, and attract raving fans. If you want to build your platform and shine the spotlight on your business, you don't want to miss this episode. Hello, incurable creators. I'm excited to bring you some bonus episodes featuring exclusive interviews from the 2023 PodUp Virtual Podcasting Summit. Each Thursday for months, you're going to hear interviews from a diverse range of podcasting and marketing experts. My hope is these repurposed interviews will inspire you with new ideas and insights to take your podcast to the next level. And of course, remember to listen every Tuesday for our regular episodes of Podcasting Secrets as well. Now, let's dive into today's bonus interview from PodUp's 2013 Podcasting Summit. Hello, I'm Nathan Gwilliam, the CEO of PodUp and the host of the Podcasting Summit. In this interview, I'm joined with Charvette Mitchell. Charvette is a marketing consultant. She's the platform builder. She's the author of 5 published books, and she's the host of the Charvette Mitchell radio show with more than 700 episodes. Thank you so much for joining us, Charvette.
I'm excited to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
So in this interview, we're going to talk about building your platform and showcasing your expertise with a podcast. So let's just start off with the core basics. What is a platform, Charvette?
Yeah. So, a platform, when we think about business owners in particular, business owners are always looking to have raving customers, getting in front of new audiences. And so I think about a platform like a stage. And so how do you build a stage, raise the visibility of potential customers and potential connections and repeat customers and shine a spotlight on yourself? How do you do that? And so I think about platform in that sense. I actually think about an actual stage. And so what are the marketing activities and the branding activities you can do to help raise your visibility so you can get more eyes and attention on your business?
So how can a podcast help you build that platform?
Yeah, a podcast is amazing for a couple of reasons. So number one, you're getting a listening audience. You're getting an audience every time you put out a podcast episode. There is another piece of content marketing that is being attached to your brand and attached to your business. And you're getting an ear that's listening to what you have to share, certainly good content and great content, but then also, hey, a little bit about your business. And so you've got a captive audience with a podcast. If you're going to be interviewing people on your podcast, most people aren't shy about letting people know that they've been featured on someone's podcast. So they're going to share it with their platforms and their networks. And that's going to draw a new and different audience to you every time you interview someone on your podcast. So those are two ways that a podcast can help with the reach of your platform.
And when we talk about podcasts, a lot of people think that means audio. But you look at the top podcasters and those people that have big platforms, and they're doing a lot more than just audio with their show. What are some of those other elements of successful platforms?
Absolutely. We always want to make sure we're working smarter, as they say, and not harder. And so the evolution of video, it is here. It is not going anywhere. And so why not incorporate video with podcasts? So a lot of the very popular podcasts are doing kind of dual duty. They've got a YouTube channel or a YouTube show, so they're streaming, the actual live presentation of the podcast. And we know the podcast certainly is going to be the audio version of that, but really incorporating really how can we pull in a visual element into this? Because people are wanting to consume content both ways, by way of audio and by way of video. And so if you have one stone, you can throw it in and catch two birds and hit two birds there. And you have video content and you have audio content.
One of the biggest mistakes that I've seen people through my career make with their platform is they build their entire platform on platform that they don't own. So for example, they'll build a huge Facebook group or they'll build a huge Instagram account, which are not bad. Those aren't inappropriate things to do, but they stop there and they just focus on that Instagram account or that Facebook page or group.
And the problem is those platforms change the rules regularly. And there was one company that I worked for where we grew them from less than 100,000 social follows to more than 130 million total follows and 40 million comments, likes, and shares a month. And then Facebook changed their rules, and Facebook made it where you had to pay to be able to reach your followers. And only a very small percentage of your followers would see if you posted to your list. And that devastated that business and all the time and the effort that they had put into building that following. The best analogy I can think of for that is that they built a skyscraper on land they didn't own. They built their platform, but they didn't own it. Facebook did. And so a lot of people today, one of the big trends is to build a platform that you own. Well, what are some of the ways that we can own our own platform, Charbette?
Yeah, we always want to be thinking about this in this kind of real estate terms, right? And so with even a podcast, how are you directing them to your own real estate? How are you directing them to your landing pages with an opt-in? How are you directing them to some way to sign up for your email list? And so it's really about using something like a podcast to direct traffic to places where you actually own that real estate, that internet real estate.
What are the assets that we really own? Because we don't own our Facebook channel and we don't own our podcast that's published on Apple Podcast. They can change the rules and deplatform us at any time, as we've seen happen a lot lately. But you talked about an email list, and we do own our email list, right? And we could take that with us. And we do own our own website, and we do own maybe a membership site if we've done that. Are there any other assets that we own? I guess our customer list.
And so I would say video, the video component. So depending on how you're capturing video, if you're going to be incorporating video with your podcast, the actual native, actual video content, even though it may live in YouTube, for instance, which we don't own that. Oftentimes you can put the actual video content somewhere like in a Dropbox or what have you. So could think about your video as also assets as well. And there are also some platforms too that where you get the actual audio. And so if you're keeping and capturing your audio for your podcast and maybe storing it in some type of something like Dropbox or Box.com, then you still can control it.
Or we could publish that on our own website where we're not just linking to another podcast hosting platform, but our own website hosts our own audio and hosts our own video, hosts our own blogs to where people can come find it on our own platform and they don't have to go to other platforms to be able to find it.
Absolutely.
So maybe we should be looking for publishing platforms that allow us to host our own content ourselves so we own it. One strategy related to that I've seen done before is Google duplicate content will often give preference to the content that's published first. So if you want to publish a video or publish audio or publish a blog, maybe you publish it on your website first, and then you syndicate it out to those other platforms the next day. So Google identifies you as the authoritative source, and maybe you'll show up higher in Google search results for that than the third-party platforms.
Yeah, sounds like an awesome approach.
Okay, so owning your own platform, why would you want to own your own platform?
It gives you control. And so just like you said, some of these other platforms, in particular social media, they've been so gracious to allow us to build an audience. But at the end of the day, we don't own it. And so you want to own some type of real estate. You want to own something. And so that's why it's very beneficial to think about, how am I steering this audience that I'm building and creating over to something that I actually own, so that at the end of the day, someone doesn't have the opportunity to take it away from me, or as you said earlier, change the rules of the game.
So we talked about video and audio. We talked about social and maybe blogging content. This is all part of content we're creating on our platform. We talked about our own website and email list and newsletter. Are there any other elements of your platform that we're not talking about yet, like a book that you write? Is that part of your platform?
Absolutely. And so having a published book and having your transformational story documented, or your framework, your intellectual property documented in a book, you own that. You have the copyright for that. And so that is absolutely something else you want to be thinking about. And so for a podcast, someone that has written a book or been a part of a book collaboration, they have something to say. They have some content, even if it's just been through their research to put the book together. That would be great for a podcast style type of content by way of podcast if you do have books. So absolutely, those are some of your platforms. And then speaking in person, I found it very interesting when I've gone to speak in locations and they had to pick through and pull through my bio for an introduction, they always pull out my show. That is always referenced in an introduction. And so even in person, speaking and building your network that way, having a podcast, a lot of people in a talk show or however you frame it up, a lot of people are very impressed with that. And that pushes your platform up.
Yeah. And a lot of those shows want to invite podcasters on because they want the podcasters to promote the event. And often it opens a lot of speaking opportunity doors. Okay. Can you share with us just a brief overview of your journey into the world of podcasting and how you got started?
Yeah. So my business started many, many moons ago as a web designer. I was offering web design services. And so there was a local book publishing company, Kingdom Publishing, here in Richmond, Virginia. They were having a marketing task force. And so they invited me to come and present and talk to authors around why they should have a website. Well, when I got there, they also had speakers from newspaper, radio, magazine. And as I listened to the radio expert and the radio announcer actually that came, I said, that sounds like an interesting avenue for me to advertise. So long story short, I bought a bunch of advertising time and turned it into an actual show. I didn't do commercials. I turned it into a short 15-minute show locally here in Richmond, in studio and all of that.
Hey, wow.
And then I later found out about podcasting that would give me more of a reach because at that point, you had to actually be local in Richmond to come into a studio. And so when I found out about podcasting, I decided to go that option and that route because it was worldwide. And so I've had people from Iceland and Germany and all over on my podcast. And that's actually how I got into it. It started as an in-studio radio show and it turned into a podcast.
I love it. What are some of the secrets of success that you would give to someone else who's starting their own podcast from scratch?
Be consistent. If you're going to release every Tuesday, release every Tuesday. If you're going to release whatever framework, be consistent. There are so many people who do one or two or three episodes and then they disappear for 8 months and then they want to pop back up and have another episode. So number one, be consistent. And then number two, have a level of professionalism and branding to your podcast. So your podcast is an extension of your business, or if you don't have a business, and this is, even if you're doing it for fun, there is a brand that you want to represent with your podcast, in particular, if you're going to have guests on, because most people want to spend their time in a good way. And if you have a great looking podcast from a branding standpoint, that's going to help get you through some doors, perhaps that you weren't able to get through. So
can you share with us your content strategy? How do you decide what topics you're going to talk about?
Yeah. So my show and my podcast is interview based. And so I have a parameter around the types of content, which is all typically geared towards small businesses. And so when ideas are pitched to me or people come to me, it's all related to some type of small business topic. In addition to that, if I have something specific that's coming up, so for instance, there's a conference that I host every November. Depending on some of the content of that conference, I'll make sure that podcasts that are leading up to us launching and selling registration for that conference kind of ties into that conference, if not even featuring some of the speakers. Or if I have a program that I'm launching, I will tie in either the questions or the types of content strategically so that while listeners are listening, it makes perfect sense. You know, in a month or so when I talk about, hey, the Platform Builder Program is open, they will have some kind of line of thought to that, like, oh, okay, I've been hearing her talk about these types of topics. So that's what we do for our show.
What advice do you have for people who might be struggling to find the unique voice for their show?
So I would sit and think about what can you talk about effortlessly. I'd start there. So I would make sure that the type of content that you produce for your podcast is something that you can talk about effortlessly. And I wouldn't put a time frame. If you're struggling, I wouldn't put a time frame to say, oh, I'm trying to have a 30-minute episode. Maybe it's a 15-minute episode until you get in your rhythm, until you get into your flow. But the key thing is a topic that you can talk about effortlessly, and then that those minutes will go by and it'll help you kind of build your podcast muscle, and then you can continue to grow.
What tips or ideas do you have about creating engaging content?
Absolutely incorporate video. That is going to hands down be one of the things that really is going to help engage your audience. And then if you use some of these streaming platforms that allow you to bring in some visuals and even pop up listener and viewer comments on the screen, I'd highly recommend that. And then the listener and the viewer is brought into kind of the episode with you. Or you could ask for questions that you then answer or address on an upcoming podcast. And then that helps people to kind of listen in to see, oh, did they pick my question? Am I going to hear them answer my question live?
You said that you do interviews. You focus on interviews. What are your best practices for conducting engaging and insightful interviews?
Conversation. Just feels like we're just chatting and having a conversation. So if I can make the first person feel comfortable, ask them to get there a few minutes before we go live, make them feel comfortable. Most guests, if they were nervous, they'll say, oh, that went by quicker than I thought. Or they'll say, oh, that just felt like we were just chatting. And so it's really about establishing rapport really quickly and resting any nerves and then being very conversational. So it just feels like there's a chat. It just, the world happens to be peering in and listening or watching.
So in those interviews you've done, can you think of a memorable experience or lesson that you've learned while interviewing a guest on your podcast?
You know, I had the opportunity to interview Bernadette Stanis, who is from Good Times, a show that's been out years and years and years. And at the time I interviewed her, I mean, very high profile guest, but they were so professional. Sent ahead of time. It was about a book that she had out. She sent the book ahead of time. Sent an autographed picture of the cast of Good Times. And so I just remember that being a really memorable conversational interview and then just really completely professional. And so that's probably the tip for that is for those that are looking to be featured on interviews to be professional, even if you feel like you're just starting out. But it was just a really great, smooth experience. No high maintenance, no stress, and just a great, great energy in that interview.
What are some of the biggest mistakes that you've seen people make as they build their platform with a podcast?
Being kind of all over the place with their topic or their content. And so then an audience, it's hard to build an audience if the audience doesn't know who you're really going after. So just being all over the place with your content.
Any other mistakes that you'd want to highlight?
The inconsistency. I gotta keep that at the top of the list. There's so many. You know, you could search Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts and see somebody you thought was, oh wow, I like two or three episodes, and then they just disappear. It just ghosts, and there's no other content there. And you know, just really making sure you have a flow to your podcast, writing down some notes that your opening is similar, your closing is similar, if there's a sponsor shout out in the middle. So just having a flow is something that I recommend. And so that's a mistake if somebody does not have a flow, some type of flow, opening, a closing, something in the middle. That's a mistake if you don't have that.
What have been your most effective ways to grow your following?
When I incorporated live streaming, live video streaming, that absolutely took my show and podcast to a whole nother level. And so that live viewer interaction, that live listener interaction, to be able literally to answer a question or to feature a question live, definitely took the content in my platform to a whole nother level.
Any ideas, suggestions how to turn first-time listeners into loyal subscribers?
Ask them to subscribe. You know, sometimes people forget to say, subscribe to this channel, subscribe to this podcast, you know, leave a review or what have you. So simply asking that and kind of going back to what we said earlier, if you can get that listener into an email, your email platform where you can send them a email every time you drop a podcast episode, then that's going to help with your repeat listeners.
What have been your most effective ways to monetize your podcast and your platform?
Mine have been to have my programs or my events be sponsors of my actual podcast. And so I've driven ticket sales and enrollments to my programs, primarily coming from the podcast, the Charbette Mitchell Radio Show. So that has been the main driver for me.
So you're basically saying products that you own yourself and using the show to promote your own products and services.
Absolutely. That I've seen the biggest return on investment.
Looking ahead, what are your future plans for your platform or your podcast?
The Charbette Mitchell Radio Show, very interestingly enough, I have never had to push it. It has pulled me along. And so we are continuing to keep this live streaming going and continuing some things in the future where we're looking to do some live interviews, like in person. So getting some guests, in a studio, and we record live and in person. So that would be the next direction for the show.
Let's talk about personal development for a minute, personal growth. Throughout this podcasting journey and platform journey that you've been on, what personal growth and development have you experienced? Are there any unexpected lessons that you've learned along the way?
Yes. So as someone that's interviewing guests, I don't know what they're going to say. And so I've had therapists and life coaches and all, professional development experts and leadership experts. And while I'm asking questions and they're answering and pouring into the audience, I'm greedy enough to receive just like the audience. And so I would say, absolutely, I have had aha moments and moments that even caught me off guard, on air of something profound that guests have said. So it absolutely has had an impact on professional development and personal development.
Is there an embarrassing moment from your time podcasting that you would feel comfortable sharing?
Oh my goodness, embarrassing moment. I've had a no-show from a guest. And it hasn't been a lot, but I had a high profile artist that I was supposed to have. I had confirmations. So I went live because I had confirmations that they were going. Yeah. And also I was live. This was not it was being recorded, but I went live because I had confirmations. Literally, I had to go to a commercial break immediately, called the contact I had, and they were basically like, yeah, she's not going to do it. And so I'm on air live. Somebody I have promoted, and they were a no-show.
Yeah, without a live stream, that wouldn't have been so bad, right? You could have just recorded the episode, and then the live stream does add a level of embarrassment to that.
Yes.
So how would you avoid that situation going forward? Would you wait to go live until you had the guest on the show?
Oh, absolutely. So that is now the practice. The guest has to be in the background in the studio. And I do not go live. If it's a high-profile guest, absolutely. I've also done pre-records with high-profile guests. So I will pre-record, and then we will air it as if it is live. So that I have done to mitigate that, to say, okay, if you're not available at 6 on Tuesday, when are you available? And we'll capture the video then, and then air it as live. Or we'll make sure they're in the studio, and we don't go live if they're not in the studio.
What's been the most successful episode that you've published?
We had the honor to have the pastor of Enon Tabernacle Church in Philadelphia, which is the largest church in Philadelphia. And his episode just broke the internet. We had people all over and on YouTube and everywhere. And I think what really highlighted that is that people that come to your podcast that already have an audience, they bring an audience with them as well. And so that was really memorable because that audience just showed up so strong everywhere in all of the comments and everything. And so shout out to Enon Baptist Church. We don't have any affiliation with them, but and he's gotten a lot of major media exposure. But that was really, I would say, the most successful because the guests brought their audience as well. And then in combination with our audience, it was just a great combination. And it was just awesome.
So Charbette, if our audience has enjoyed this episode and they'd like to learn more about you and your products and services, what are the best ways for them to do that?
Yeah, one of the easiest ways is my name, CharbetteMitchell.com. So if you jump over to CharbetteMitchell.com, that'll take you to our main website for Mitchell Productions, and you can see everything there that you want to see about our marketing services, about our upcoming conferences and events, book collaborations, and the Charvette Mitchell radio show. So charvettemitchell.com is the best place to go. You can even just Google Charvette. I'll come up. And of course, all of our social media contacts are there on charvettemitchell.com.
For the audience who's with us, if you have not yet taken advantage of the VIP upgrade for the summit, please click on the button below and you can learn how you can get a free trial of PodUp and a free challenge course to help you learn how to use that and get your first podcast launched in 5 days. Thank you so much and have a fabulous day as you work to leverage your podcast to create your own platform. Here are my key takeaways from this episode. Number one, a platform is like a stage to raise your visibility and get more eyes on your business. A podcast can help build your platform. Number two, incorporating video into your podcast creates a more engaging multimedia piece of content. Video boosts engagement. Number three, direct podcast listeners to lead magnets to sign up for the email list that you own. Don't just build audiences on platforms you don't control. Number four, consistency is key. Stick to a regular release schedule. Inconsistency is a big mistake that hurts growth. Number five, interview-style podcasts let you tap into guest audiences and expand your reach. Number six, build relationships with guests and have a good conversational flow to put guests at ease and create an engaging interview. Number seven, incorporate live streaming to boost engagement and grow your following. And finally, number eight, as a monetization strategy, use your podcast to drive traffic to your own products and services. If you're looking for a great all-in-one podcasting platform with more than 35 integrated modules to help you create, grow, and monetize your business around a podcast, you can get a free trial of PodUp at podup.com. Thank you for joining us for this episode, and I wish you success as you strategically build a platform that you own.